before we begin to endeavor to read and study from God's holy word, I would ask you to please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, Lord, for the privilege that we have to have a Father that is perfect and holy, all-powerful and all-wise, and one who loves us with an everlasting love, a perfect Father in every way. We're thankful that Thou hast loved us so much that Thou didst send Thine only begotten Son into the earth to save us from our sins. We know, Lord, that grace is amazing. We can't comprehend the magnitude of the love of God. We can't comprehend You loving us. But we do thank You for loving us. We thank you for not only providing eternal salvation, but we thank You for providing the kingdom of heaven and the church while we live here in this world. We thank You for the Bible. We thank You for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Thankful for our families. We're thankful for the family of God. We're thankful, Lord, for this church. And we pray that You would bless every member and friend of the body, and pray that You would bless us, that we would work and labor together to Thy name's honor and glory. Help us to worship Thee. Help us to learn from Thee. Help us to share the truth with others. We pray that You would bless us to grow spiritually, to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We do beg Thy blessings upon all those who are sick and afflicted. There are many in this congregation who stand in special need of Thy help. We pray that You would be with them. Bless those who have lost loved ones, comfort their hearts. Bless Brother Ken Drayton in a very special way, and all the other members of their family, and the loss of his son Greg. We pray that You would comfort them in the funeral service this week. Pray that You would bless all the others, Lord. Bless the family of the child that was killed. We pray that You would comfort them as You alone are able to do. We pray again now that as we try to study Thy holy word, that Thy Spirit would be our teacher, that Thou would guide us and direct us, help us to hear and understand the Word of God, and then help us to be doers of Thy Word and not hearers only. We pray in the blessed and holy name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like to ask you tonight, if you will, to turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew. I would like to read from Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, the first six verses. Matthew chapter 18, beginning with verse 1. The Word of God says, "At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto Him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." Isn't that amazing? Several of them thought they were the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus told them, unless you are converted, you won't even be in the kingdom of heaven. "Except ye be converted and become as little children," He says, "ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." And then He says in verse 4, "Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in My name receiveth Me, but whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in Me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea." I want us tonight to think about some of the characteristics that the Word of God says that children of God should have. Now, the Word of God here is saying that unless the disciples were converted, I think all of you know that conversion is different than regeneration. We're regenerated or born again one time in our lives, but we need to be converted many different times in our lives. Converted means to change our thoughts and our actions. And so the disciples here needed to be converted because they were full of pride. And Jesus says, "Except ye be converted, unless you change your thinking, then you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven." So one of the characteristics, He took a little child and set that child in their midst, and He says, "Except ye be converted and become as this little child." And so it is that we need to be humble like little children. except we be converted and become as this little child, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, a little child is humble, and the Word of God emphasizes the importance of humility. Every time that we get lifted up in vain pride, we need to be converted. We need to humble ourselves. If we will humble ourselves, the Word of God says, he that exalteth himself shall what? Shall be abased, but he that will humble himself shall be exalted. God will lift you up into the kingdom of heaven when you humble yourself. And so humility is one of the many characteristics that children have that as children of God we ought to have. Now, brethren, the Bible does not teach that we ought to be children in every way. There are some characteristics of children that are not pleasing to God, but there are many characteristics of children that we must have if we're going to dwell in the kingdom of heaven. Humility is something that we must have. A second characteristic that children have is that they are very forgiving. Little children can fuss and fight, and before you know it, they have forgiven each other, and they're back playing again. The Word of God says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 20, the Word of God says that in understanding we're to be men, but in malice we're to be children. What does that tell us? That tells us you look at children and you look at how that sometimes, even though they fuss and they fight, you look at how they forgive each other and they go right back to playing and it's all forgotten. They forgive and they forget, and they continue to love each other and show love one to another. Brethren, the Word of God says that we're to be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And if we're not going to be humble, first of all, and if we're not going to be forgiving one another, then we will not dwell in the kingdom of heaven. You hold a grudge, you get angry, and you hold that in your heart, and you will be out of the kingdom of heaven. And in fact, not only will you be shut out of the kingdom of heaven, but if you persist in that attitude of being angry and full of hatred, I want you to know that you can be cast into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. And if you continue to persist in that anger and hatred and malice, I want you to know that you can go even further and be cast into a hell that's prepared for the devil and his angels. But God's disobedient children can experience a lot of hell while they live here in this world. And God's children sometimes are cast into hell while they live because of their disobedience. So it's not just that you miss the joys of the kingdom of heaven, but whenever you begin to not be humble and you begin to not forgive, you're headed for major trouble in your life. Now, a third characteristic that I want us to think about little children. Not only do we need to be humble, and not only do we need to be forgiving, but a third wonderful characteristic of children is that we need to desire the sincere, what? The milk of the Word. Turn in your Bibles just a moment to 1 Peter chapter 2, towards the end of the New Testament, and listen to what the Word of God says here. That Peter is speaking to the elect of God, to the saints of God, and he tells us that we need to, 1 Peter chapter 2, listen to verse 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, the Word of God says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. We've had a lot of little babies in the church. They're growing up, and we've got more babies coming along. But you know that one of the things that babies desire, newborn babes, more than almost anything else, they desire milk. They want milk. They desire milk so much they will scream and holler for milk. And so it is the people of God ought to desire the sincere milk of the Word that we may grow thereby. Is that another area that children have that we ought to have, is that we ought to long for the Word of God. We ought to desire the Word of God. Did you know there are times in a child's life, in a baby's life, that means more to them than anything else is the milk that they receive. Likewise, in the lives of God's people, When they humble themselves as a little child, and they as newborn babes, when they desire the sincere milk of the Word, what will God do when they desire the sincere milk of the Word? What will God do for His people when they desire that? He will feed them. Jesus tells us in the Beatitudes, "Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." When you're hungry for the Word of God, you remember how, it was either in the Psalms, who was it that said that he desired the Word of God more than his necessary food? Was that Job? Yes. Job said that he desired the Word of God more than his necessary food. Now, this passage, Peter is saying that just like a newborn babe desires the sincere milk of the Word, we ought to desire, just like a babe desires milk, we ought to desire the sincere milk of the Word. Job says, "I know how people like food, but I love food. I want something better than food, and that's the Word of God." Now, brethren, is the Word of God that precious to us? Most of us, yes, it should be. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. How long does the baby go without drinking milk? Sister Brandy, you got little Maddie back there. How long does the baby, a young baby, about how long do they go? They sleep all night, right? They go 8 hours at night without milk. No, anybody that's had a baby knows that babies don't go 8 hours without milk. Babies will go 2 or 3 hours sometimes, and then it's time to feed them again, and time to feed them again. So it is with the Word of God. You know, sometimes the people of God, about the only time they ever read the Word of God, if they ever read it, is on Sunday when they go to the house of God. But listen, brethren, there are other children of God that are so hungry for the Word of God that they are reading the Word of God every time they have an opportunity. They are hungry for the Word of God. Have you ever gone into nursing home, Sister Nina? Do you know those in the nursing home that read their Bible quite regularly? There are people in the nursing homes that read their Bible almost all the time. Every waking hour. Sister Forche is one that most of us know. And you could go to her room anytime you wanted to, and she would always be reading the Word of God. She desired the sincere milk of the Word. And you know what God blessed her to do? "Except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter the kingdom of God." And when you are converted, and you become as little children, and you desire the sincere milk of the Word, God will feed you, and you're in the kingdom of heaven. Listen, brethren, when God is feeding your soul with the sincere milk of the Word and with the meat of the Word, you will be in the kingdom of heaven. You need to desire. We need to pray, "God, help me." If you don't desire the sincere milk of the Word, you're sick spiritually. And so it is as little children of God, we need to desire the sincere milk of the Word. Go with me now to Luke chapter 11. I want to look at another characteristic of children that the Word of God teaches that we ought to have. If we're going to dwell in the kingdom of heaven, if we're going to have fellowship with God here in this world, if we're going to have intimate fellowship with God, what's the first thing that I mentioned tonight that we have to have? Humility. We have to be humble. "Except ye be converted and become as little children." We have to be humble like little children. What's the second thing we mentioned? We have to be forgiving. In malice, what are we supposed to be? Be children. In understanding, we're supposed to be men, but in malice, we're to be children. We have to be forgiving one of another. Jesus says, "If ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses." Now, if we're not going to forgive one another, we're going to be shut out of the kingdom of heaven. And the third thing that we mentioned already is that we need to be desiring the sincere milk of the Word. Now look at Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. The Word of God says, "And it came to pass," Luke 11 verse 1, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to what? Teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." Now, brethren, one of the things, besides humility, and besides desiring the sincere milk of the Word, and besides forgiving like little children, we need to be teachable. Did you know little children love to learn? Little children are like sponges. They just want to learn. They'll ask you, what's the first thing you try to get children to do? You try to get them to do what? Before, say it again. Okay, talk. That's it. That's what I want to say. Wanted you to say. Talk. We try to get them to talk. We work hard to get them to talk. And then when they start talking, what do we try to do? Shut them up. Right. Yes. We want to get them to walk, but once they start talking, they talk so much, they'll say, why? 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 How many of you ever had children that they just asked why, no matter what your answer was, the next question you knew was coming out of them, well, why? 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 Why do they ask all those questions? It's because they want to learn. Children of God that are going to dwell in the kingdom of heaven are going to be children of God that are teachable. They want to learn. They're hungry to learn from God. They're learning, want to learn from the Word of God. They want Jesus to teach them. They want God to teach them, whether it's His Spirit teaching us personally or whether it's God using other people. They want to be taught about God. They want to know more. These disciples right here that came to Jesus said, Lord, teach us to pray. Did they want to be taught? Did they want Jesus to teach them something right here? Lord, teach us to pray. John taught his disciples to pray, and we want you to teach us. Did you know sometimes children get so smart they don't need to be taught anything? Have you ever seen children like that? Teenagers sometimes get to the point where they know it all. They don't need to be taught anything. Well, spiritually, when people develop spiritually, they get to that same point where they don't need to be taught anything. They know it all. Very dangerous position to get in. I'm 60-something years old. I can't remember. One or two, somewhere along in there. Been preaching for 36 years approximately. And I still am learning from the Word of God. Now, how in the world, one book that you can study, one book all most of your life and still not understand it all is amazing. There is no other book that you can study that much and not know it backwards, forwards, and sideways and understand it. But the Bible is so deep that you can study it all your life, and you can sit under the teaching of many, many wise spiritual men, but you will never learn all there is in the Word of God. Early in my ministry, in fact, before I ever started preaching, I would go and sit at the feet of preachers. I would go to Elder Emory Jackson. I would go to Elder Guy Smith. I would go to Elder Burley Welch. I'd go to a lot of the old elders, Elder T.L. Crumpton. I'd drive from Carrollton to Alabama. I'd drive from Griffin to Alabama to see Brother T.L. Crumpton. And I would just go and I'd say, I need to get you to teach me something in the Word of God. And I would go to them with questions. As I would read and study, I would have all kinds of questions. Listen, brethren, do you need to be taught? Do you need to be taught? You remember how the eunuch was sitting in his chariot and was reading the Word of God, and as he read the Word of God, he was confused about what the Word of God was saying. And God sent Philip. I'm telling you, the love of God is amazing, and wherever there's a child of God that's searching for the truth and wants to know the truth, I believe God will get the truth to them. And that eunuch was sitting there reading from Isaiah chapter 53, and God sent Philip to the eunuch. And Philip asked the eunuch, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man guide me? Now, not just any man will do, but I'm telling you, a man sent from God, a man that has spiritual understanding, that has the ability to teach the truth, there will be people that are hungry for the truth. Now, that's a great blessing. Did you know it? It's a blessing all my life. I've had the privilege of sitting under older men and learning and learning and learning. My granddaddy was Elder W.F. Mims, and when I was a little child, I used to sit and listen to Daddy and Granddaddy Mims and Brother C.O. Moore and Brother Emory Jackson. There were about five or six preachers that when we would go to Tifton to visit my grandmother, those old preachers would sit around. And I remember when they would tell me to go to bed, I would go into the room I was supposed to be in. Then I would ease back out of bed, and I would get right up next to the door to the living room, and I'd listen. I'd listen to those old preachers discussing the Word of God. You know why? Because my soul was hungry to hear more and more and more about the Word of God. I learned even... Do you think these little children are learning the truth of the Word of God? Do you think they're learning the truth? Do you think they can also be led away in error? Very, very serious when you let them go places where truth is not being taught. Very serious. The Word of God teaches that plainly. That if someone's preaching another gospel, you're not to receive them into your house, and you're not to bid them Godspeed, and you certainly ought not to be letting your children go where the truth is not being taught. You're asking for trouble. What are they? They're children. What do parents sometimes think? Oh, my child's smart enough, he's not going to be polluted by false doctrine. You watch what happens. You sit under false doctrine, it won't be long till you'll swallow false doctrine. And you'll believe it, and you'll hold to it, and you won't even be able to tell the difference in truth and error. Because children are hungry. They're hungry to be taught. And they're just like sponges, just absorbing the Word of God. One of the necessary characteristics of a person that's going to enter the kingdom of heaven is that they must be converted and become as a little child and want to learn. Want to learn. So these men came to Jesus and said, Lord, teach us, teach us, teach us to pray and teach us many other things. There are a lot of other characteristics of children. Let's go to two more. Turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 20. The Word of God tells us another statement about something that's absolutely necessary for a child of God to have. It's a characteristic of children that we must have if we're going to dwell in the kingdom of heaven. Except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 20, I want you to listen to the statement here. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 20, the Word of God says, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. What's the command here to children? Children do what? Children, obey your parents in all things. Now, what's the first commandment with promise? What's the first commandment in all the Word of God? The first commandment with promise is, honor thy father and thy mother. Now listen, brethren, just like little children are to obey their natural parents, children of God must obey their spiritual father. If we're going to dwell in the kingdom of heaven, in fact, when Jesus began his ministry and he began to teach about entering the kingdom of heaven, Jesus says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that, what? He that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Do you have to be a doer of God's word? Do you have to obey God in order to dwell in the kingdom of heaven? Yes, you do. What are good children doing? They're obeying their parents. The command here in Colossians 3:20 is, children, obey your parents in all things. And I would say to you that part of your responsibility as a child of God, if you're going to be converted and become as little children, then you're going to obey your Heavenly Father in all things. Did Jesus desire to please His Father in all things, in every way? Do you desire to please your Father in all things, your Heavenly Father in all things? If you do, then you have one of the characteristics that's necessary in order to dwell in the kingdom of heaven. Go with me to one other example of a child having a characteristic pleasing to God. Back up in your Bibles to Psalm 131. There are a lot of others, but I want you to listen to Psalm 131 and verse 2. Psalm 131, David talks about something that he had done, and he's using a natural illustration to teach a spiritual lesson. That's what all of these things are. Everything we're talking about a child, every characteristic, every literal characteristic of a child that we've mentioned has a spiritual lesson behind it. Likewise, in Psalm 131 and verse 2, the Word of God says, David speaking, David writing, he says, surely I have behaved and quieted myself. Do you need to behave? Brother David, you ever tell your children, did you ever tell them behave? Did you ever tell your grandchildren behave? Yes. Behave. Behave. What does behave mean? It means do right. Act right. Now David says, surely I have behaved and quieted myself. Because sometimes you need to quiet yourself. We need to quiet ourselves. David's speaking of things he did that were right and good. He says, surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. Now, what does that mean when David says, my soul is even as a weaned child? What do you need to wean yourself from? I want you to tell me some things that, as children of God who want to enter the kingdom of heaven, what are some things that we must wean ourselves. What does it mean to wean? What does it mean? Okay, to get off of, get away from, to say again, Brother David. To break away from. Whenever you wean a child from milk, you're teaching that child. And what do they do when they first begin to be weaned? Before you wean them, what will they do all the time? They'll cry for what they want. They still want something that they don't need to just live off of milk. But they still want to keep crying for that. Give you another example. When I was a little boy, I used to always suck those two fingers right there. Always kept them in my mouth. Got up to almost going to kindergarten. I still, every now and then, I'd stick those two fingers in my mouth. They'd tape up my hand. They'd tape up my fingers. They'd put glove on my fingers, do everything else. But I still, one way or another, I'd get it off and I'd suck those two fingers. But I had an uncle, and they called him Bad Man. And Bad Man came to see us one day, and we were out in the yard, and Daddy said, I had those two fingers in my mouth without thinking about it. And Daddy said, Billy, stop putting those fingers in your mouth. And Uncle Henry just pulled out his pocket knife. There was some rocks by the driveway there, and he just starts raking his knife over those rocks, sharpening his knife. And I just, as I was watching him, I just began to think, what is he fixing to do? And he said, let me see your hand a minute. And I said, what for? And he said, I'm going to cut those fingers off because I don't want to ever see them in your mouth again. Now, that scared me bad. It really did. Because I knew he was a bad man. And I knew he did a lot of things that caused me to be afraid of him. And did you know that broke me that day? I don't ever remember putting my finger. I'd start to do it, and every time I'd think about that knife cutting those two fingers off. Now, he weaned me. Does everybody follow what I'm saying? He weaned me from sucking my fingers. He weaned me. It got rid of it. I haven't sucked those fingers, I don't think, since that day in the driveway. That was my last time. He weaned me. Have you ever needed to be weaned from some of the things in this world? Have you ever tried to wean yourself from something, and before you knew it, what did you do? Went right back to it. You try to wean yourself, but you're not weaned, listen carefully, you're not weaned until it's gone. It's out of your life, and you no longer want it. The Apostle Paul, did he wean himself from a lot of things in this world? He said he counted all those things. He enumerates all these things that had been important to him. They were as important to him as my two fingers were important to me. But listen, the Apostle Paul said, I count all things but loss. I give them all up so that I can win Christ. And then what he says, he comes on down to that Philippians chapter 3, he says, forgetting what? Forgetting what? Forgetting those things which are behind. Had he put them behind him? Had he gotten rid of them and forgotten about them? Forgetting those things which are behind and pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. You know what that mark is? That's dwelling in the kingdom of heaven. What do you have to do before you can dwell in the kingdom of heaven? You have to be converted and become as a, what's the expression here, two words, become as a weaned child. David says, my soul is even as a weaned child. So there are a lot of characteristics. As you study the Word of God, you'll find a lot of different characteristics of children that we must have in our lives if we're going to dwell in the kingdom of heaven. And there's not a person here, listen carefully, there's not a person here that has all of those characteristics all the time. Sometimes we have them for a while, and then before we know it, we kind of slip backwards. And when we slip backwards and we go back to those things that we thought we were weaned from, guess what we get out of? We get right back out of the kingdom of heaven. We lose that feeling of intimate fellowship with God. We lose the righteousness, peace, and joy. Listen, you don't lose your salvation, but you lose the joy of God's salvation. May God help us to become converted as little children, is my prayer for Christ's sake.